Well, folks, you know you're in for a treat because it's still time for episode 540 of the Rec Poker Podcast. This is our chats edition, and we also have a forums edition every week where we just talk strategy. I am your host, Sasha Sutton, at Poker for Girls on Twitter, and sitting in today for the fabulous Jim Reed, who is traveling. So sorry, I don't have his dance moves, but I do have other virtues. And as Jim likes to say, we have the best job in the world, talking poker with all our friends here on the podcast every Monday night at 7:30 Eastern at 4:30 Pacific. And we're live on YouTube. So do join us for free and even win a prize just for showing up. So we're thrilled to have on the show tonight our guest, Rebecca Scales, and we'll start our chat with her in just a minute. First, I need to thank our fantastic sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. And as a refresh, most of what we do here at Rec Poker is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, so we naturally depend on support from our sponsors and also our premium members who take advantage of our training materials and study opportunities for only $15 a month. If you are a premium member, you are very special to the Rec Poker community, and we hope your training has been everything you needed to be. And remember, if you'd like to become a premium member, you can get your first month for only $5 by using the discount code RECPOKER at checkout. So here at Rec Poker, we may play for fun, but it's more fun when we win. So we study together, we play together, we celebrate together, and it all starts with a free membership at rec.poker, where all it takes to join is an email address and a smile. Now, every podcast has a host, but the host is just one person. It takes a group, a gang, a village, a crew to make all the magic happen around here. And we call this group of wizards the Wrecking Crew. And if you want to learn more about me or the rest of the Wrecking Crew, just go to rec.poker/crew, or you can listen up right now because you're about to meet a few of them, starting with our truly irreplaceable producing co-host, Chris Jones.
Might be replaceable tonight, but I am Chris Jones. You can find me 5v5 on Twitter or 5x5 in the Poker Stars home game.
And I am John Somsky, also known as Poker Geek MN Everywhere, and I'd just like to say, Chris, better you than me.
And I'm Rob Washam, and I'm Rabman50 just about everywhere. And in December, we have a special promotion going on called Naughty or Nice. And if you use Nice when you check out, you get your first month of Rec Poker for $1. So wow. Check it out.
Thank you, Rob, for that shout out. What a fantastic deal to get really, really, really smart about this really, really hard game for so little initial investment. Thank you, team. Also, folks, as always, we'll be announcing home game and ROI results toward the end of the podcast. So we are very pleased to welcome Rebecca Scales. She's devoted most of her poker career advocating for social justice, women's rights, and equality. Early on, she began to ask the very crucial question, why wasn't the World Series of Poker marketing to women? And how could the number of women be increased in the game broadly? Rebecca went on to join the board of the Women in Poker Association. And in 2022, partnering with Poker Go Studios, she made sure that the Women in Poker Hall of Fame event was streamed to over 10,000 viewers. And I personally remember that moment and was thrilled about it. Rebecca is now a WPT Global Tour Manager and has launched a podcast of her own with two poker colleagues called The Real Poker Girls of Las Vegas. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us on the Rec Poker Podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just so you know, at the end of the interview, we have a couple of fun new elements, stake, study, stack, and our speed round, which we call closing the action, which Mr. Chris will direct. So just to start us off, Rebecca, if our audiences don't know you or know your work or your credential at all, how would you describe your role now broadly in the poker universe?
I would definitely say an advocate. I'd say I'm an advocate for poker and women. We're always pushing women forward, trying to get more women to play, trying to remove the barriers that we know that keep women from playing. We do that on all avenues from Poker Power to WPA. They're all going in the same direction to get more women in the game.
So I've been writing about, I've been blogging about poker, first for RedChip Poker and now for Rec Poker. And I've written about women in the game in years past. I really love when I, that question, I wrote a piece for RedChip years ago called Where Are the Women? And when you first started it, and I read in your bio, and you first started working with Caesars, and then you were exposed to the World Series of Poker, and you were saying, you know, why aren't women marketed to? And that was always a question I asked, and I would look at these, and this isn't a judgment, but very, very masculine, hyper kind of the language of crushing and domination, and websites that were really just marketed to more of a male sensibility. From your point of view, like when you first started to think about this marketing question in terms of how the industry was or wasn't wanting or trying really to bring more women in, talk to us about that when you first started thinking about that question.
That literally was just very naive question. So I worked at Caesars in their corporate marketing, and World Series of Poker is like, it's the mecca to poker players. But at Caesars in the corporate marketing section, it's just kind of a small convention. So they gave us, they gave me World Series of Poker, and they were like, hey, this is coming up, so we're going to do some marketing. And I just realized we had nothing for women, and there was no, we weren't branding, we weren't buying anything for women. And I was like, what is going on? Like, why, this seems like the biggest sector that could grow. So I didn't understand from a marketing perspective, why were we not attaching it to that, basically? And then I realized it was like 3%. So I was like, okay, I get it, but what can we do about it? So that sent me on my whole quest. And that's when I went and found Lupe Soto, who I'm sure you guys all know, who runs Ladies International Poker Series. And I went to my first ladies event, and I found her, and I was like, hey, I'm like, what, like, what's going on? She's like, well, I'm starting this board, Women's Poker Association. We've been probably, I think they were around for like 3 or 4 months at that point. I'm not exactly, I can't remember exactly the dates, but, and she's like, why don't you join us? And so that's kind of how my whole journey started. I never had any intentions whatsoever of doing anything in poker, but I couldn't help it. Like, I was drawn to the game. I loved the game, and I've always advocated for women. So it kind of all just worked out for me.
And when you first started presenting these ideas at Caesars or folks, you know, at World Series, like, what was the reaction back then? Like, what was the resistance? What talk to us about that moment for you?
To be honest, there really wasn't, a presentation or even a, there wasn't a reaction. It was just, this is what we do. That was just, there was nothing at that point that it changed. Women just weren't, it's changed so much just since I've been in the Women's Poker Association, like, and since Poker Powers came along, they've really looked at the barriers and what it's, but that's what it took. Because at first nobody was even talking about it. There wasn't a conversation around it, really. I mean, there was a few people saying stuff, but it wasn't enough people to say stuff that anybody was paying attention, including them.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, the numbers on world, as you well know, the numbers for women in the World Series fluctuate between a gigantic 2% and a gigantic 6%. And Jennifer Newell and others have done some excellent reporting on these gigantic fluctuating numbers for women in the World Series overall. But even a half a percentage point upward is considered huge progress. This question of women as the next big market and kind of ignored. And when you're saying, you know, what, when you first became, or just started to focus on the problem or the issue, what was your interpretation of the barriers for women in poker back then?
I didn't know at first. And so we went out and we asked, basically, WPT had done a, like, they brought all the women groups together, basically, and they asked a lot of questions. And then I know Poker Power and WPA have since done this. And we figured out that the three main barriers were, the first one was harassment or perceived harassment. The second one was social norms. And then the third one was just either structures or literally women couldn't leave their kids and money and stuff like that would affect their daily things. So the first two, I was like, we can do something about.
I mean, the solution to the third thing is that more women should be playing cash, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, I can't give, like, we're still making 20% less in the whole economy is what I'm saying. So I can't give them more income, but I can move these barriers, make it more normal, you know, teach them to take more risks to where they feel comfortable sitting at a table and 100% sit down and play cash.
I mean, yeah, I say that jokingly and not really jokingly or playfully at all, because I like dream of, like, I haven't even put any energy into this, but I've been jonesing for like an advocacy group for women on the cash side of the game, because there's so much beautiful work being done on the tournament side and like lots of folks moving through the Poker Power ecosystem. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Also play some cash. I'm aware of that, but I would love, I sometimes feel a little bit orphaned as a cash player. There's not that many women in the game, but each time I go into the room, there's a few more, the major rooms, and that's fantastic. I'm amazed how anybody learns how to play poker and let alone play cash poker. So I'm always very honored when women are present. Yeah, it's a tough road. But I do think that cash poker gives women that on that third, and there's several ways that a woman's cash life can just be more manageable. I mean, this is just a tiny little personal comment, but like, ironically, you know, I've been really lucky in my career, both in Vegas and in New York, where I started, in terms of harassment, in terms of nasty moments. I've only cried twice, which is pretty good for several years, whatever it's been. But recently I dropped my ear pod, right? Twice at two tables, like twice. These things just fly. I dropped them. And literally like 3 men at the first table and then 4 men at the second table, like everybody just like stopped playing and like got on their knees with flashlights to help me look for my stupid little thing. And I'm thinking about the most extreme, horrible things that happen to women. And then I have like several men at two tables, like helping me find my ear pod. So there's definitely extremes, right?
I would say that the majority of the poker world is very positive, but it doesn't take the majority of the poker world to turn a woman off to it. That's the problem. It takes one person that's being very negative, or the person that's allowed to continue harass them, that will stop a woman from walking into a room. But I would say the same thing. I have a lot of positive experiences 99% of the time.
Yeah. No, I did have somebody who was somebody targeted me a few months ago, like out of the blue, not somebody I really knew, not somebody I played with. And I just sat down and they just hated me, you know, and I just go into like absolute silence in those moments. Like I'm so defended and I'm like, you can't get a reaction out of me at all. But it was so painful and weird. And I left the table. I mean, I just took care of myself and I went to the floor and I said, they said, we're here if you need us. And I was just kind of speechless at how vicious it was out of the blue. And again, I agree with you. I think that there's just tremendous positivity. I see men, and we all have it in our best interest. I don't know if it's the same on the tournament side. Like, you want to be kibitzing with like other cash players, right? I mean, you want to sort of have warm feelings, but you don't want people bluffing you too hard. And, you know, there's all kinds of other reasons to be friendly. But what talk about before your intermediate period between, you know, WSOP and then meeting Lupe, and then the organization or organizations that you founded and the work you've done before you got connected to Poker Power. Talk about that period for you.
Before I got connected to Poker Power?
Yeah. So was there something, did you create Poker Queen between?
Oh, I did. Like, okay. So this is a bad venture. Well, not a bad venture, but I was going to create a clothing line for women in poker. And then I realized there's really just no money in that whatsoever. So I went back to my roots and I just turned Poker Queen into a marketing studio.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah. And it's worked out for me. I'm constantly creating something. So I have something new. Well, we can talk about that later. But there wasn't a lot in between. I always did marketing and I've always worked with everything Lupe does, from the Women Poker Hall of Fame. So anytime we did the TDA, everything we've done, I've done with her over the last years between that and when Poker Power came along. So I'm on the board and Poker Power says, hey, we're starting this new thing. And that's where that comes from, basically, because I'm on the board of Women's Poker Association. And we were working on Raise It Up at that point, which is where we have the zero tolerance. That was our huge thing. That was kind of my baby for the longest time. That was where.
Yeah. Talk about that. Talk about the Raise It Up campaign.
So the Raise It Up campaign is zero tolerance in the room, and we get rooms to sign on, and we have advocates throughout the whole world, basically, that can, for other women to go to and talk to or talk to those rooms. We have two people. There's one for WPA International, which is KJ, for she runs the Hippodrome, who is amazing. yeah, I know, right? I love her. And then we have Christina Black, who took over for me for WPA Domestic. And it just, it's just a simple campaign, but it's so needed. It just says, hey, you're not going to be harassed. This is a safe room, and women feel safe to go play there because it has approval, because they've went through the training, and the room says, hey, we're not going to allow harassment, which seems just like it should be the baseline, but sometimes we have to say it.
Yeah. I mean, the sentence, it should be the baseline, is an interesting sentence. Men have just a range of reactions, as you well know, to women seated, right? Yes. And women are still knocking on the door in some sense. And there's been dramatic change over the last, say, 5 years or a little bit longer. I consider this the golden age of women, the beginning of the golden age for women in poker, for lots of reasons. But how men react to women playing, they have a range of reactions. So that idea that it should be the baseline. We've talked to folks on this podcast about, you know, guests and other Wrecking Crew members have talked about the need for men to speak up. I advocate to women to simply keep it really, really simple. Don't engage, go to the floor, just preserve your own, just surrender your own, kind of just stay grounded, and don't, just try to devote as little energy to some hard moment as possible and let folks in charge deal with it. Other people feel like men should be more vocal, and I know some crazy stuff happens in tournaments toward women and terrible things can be said. What's your feeling about how, and it's different in cash. I can get up and I can leave the casino. I can go to another table. I can go to three other tables. I can do whatever the hell I want. I can take a break. In tournaments, that's harder. What's your sense of, how do you talk to women in a tournament context about potential verbal harassment and other, some very weird stuff that I've heard happens?
Pretty much the same as you. We say, protect yourself, go to the floor. That's what they're there for. You hope that men would stand up, but a lot of times they won't. They won't say anything at the table. Nobody will say anything when harassment's happening. I see it a lot of dealers too, women dealers, same thing. They will attack them. And because I play mixed games more than I play hold'em. And if they're not perfect, they will. And sometimes they even bring like the fact of their sex into it. And it's just the fact that they bring it up, I'm shocked by. I'm floored. But I personally will always say something, but not all women feel comfortable, especially if it's a brand new setting for them. So like you, I say, go to the floor, ask them for help, you know, but sometimes I feel like even they don't feel comfortable doing that because they feel targeted after that. You know, because they've went.
So male players are sometimes verbally attacking female dealers if they make errors in their dealing.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad to me. Wow, that's incredible.
So that's what supposed to be across the board. It's supposed to be for dealers, industry, everybody. It's not just for the player. It's just protection of the room. And we're not just saying for women. We're saying just make your room to where you don't allow harassment. Period.
No, I love that. You're right. I'm trying to, you know something? Yeah, I had a difficult moment with someone. And then I asked a friend of mine who's this physically gigantic guy and wears sunglasses, and he just looks so formidable. And I was like, do guys come after you? He goes, are you kidding me? All the time. Like, I have to call the floor all the time. And this is, you know, I actually felt better about that. I was like, oh, good. So I can take a little bit the gender out of it, right? But to your point, right. Just zero tolerance for any kind of, I don't have a problem with people kind of reacting to loss, or, you know, a friend of mine plays in the Bay Area and somebody lost a big hand to him, and he just, the player was just like walking around muttering to themselves and circling the table for a little while. You know, I mean, things happen in the game, as you all know, but this is, I love that you guys are sort of on this question of safety and protection for all players and not just for women. For folks that don't know, Poker Power is a brand that started in 2020. They are committed as a brand to teaching a million women across the world how to play poker, and to then be able to integrate the many fantastic skills that women learn in their poker lives in their business and or corporate and or entrepreneurial lives. I consider Poker Power like an absolute force of nature. I first learned from a woman in New York who had a similar business model. This was a decade ago. So I was pleased that Poker Power locked onto the idea and with its resources was able to just, create the scale that it's created. Rebecca, talk about your experience with the brand and how they found you, and just talk about your relationship.
So I was actually there the day that they called Lupe. I was at Lupe's house and they called. They're like, hey, we're going to have this. We're thinking about starting this new business. And at that point, we were going to work with high schools. And then a pandemic happened. So, so that plan went right out the window. And I was on the board and they were like, we need some teachers. We need women that know how to play poker and that could teach. So my background, I have an education. Well, I have a human resource background in my degrees. And so I was like, well, this kind of fits what I do. And I know how to play poker and it's very basic. So I'm like, okay, let's see what this is about. And at first I wasn't, I was just like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. And we really figured it out. we went from this idea of high schools to teaching 40,000 women. I think we're in, I'm going to say it wrong. We've been in several countries. I know personally, I've taught in Malta and in Africa. And we've had I've done everything from teach at Harvard University to sit on the NASDAQ and get to teach those women. I mean, these are amazing things that we get to do. And the fact that to watch these women, you can see it. You can see when you're giving them the skill, and these are very educated women most of the time, like at the top of the level, and they don't want to sit down at a poker table because it's intimidating to them because they're good at what they do. But then when they realize, oh, I get it, like the light bulb goes off, that's the most exciting moment for me. I absolutely love working at Poker Power. It's my favorite thing I do. It's so fulfilling.
Yeah, I imagine. I was going to ask you. If you ever want to teach Vegas high school students how to play poker, like, please call me. Let's just go do that. I'm dying to, I started as a tournament player, but I migrated to cash really early. And I think a tournament professional life as a tournament player is demanding in different ways and much, much harder. But I do think that becoming a professional poker player on the cash side is not more demanding than, say, becoming a doctor or a lot of things, is doable and I think is viable. So I love, like you, I wrote to Aaron Lydon, who's one of the magic makers at Poker Power. And I always said, I was so jealous that you guys were teaching high school kids in Africa. but I think it's giving women this understanding. And I love that Poker Power is making the game. I think it's ironic that, I don't know, there's some deep irony to it. I'm often just texting Aaron and saying like that women as a force, as a collective global potential marketing body of, new bodies coming into the industry or whatever, that women are reinventing the image of poker as a smoky backroom, whiskey filled. I don't mind the whiskey part, but the smoky backroom, thing that it's been, its legacy, right? There are a handful of women that have played throughout the decades in America, famous women. There was a woman named Betty Carey that played with Doyle, who was just a force of nature. There's just a handful of those stories since over the last like 50 or 60 years. But now this, I love what you're saying about just that, not just that women understand the power of it intellectually, but that it's no longer, I've seen Erin in interviews where they say to her, like, why, this is seedier. Some version of like, this is weird. Why are you teaching women to do this? Isn't this bad? Isn't this negative? Isn't this gambling? People say that to you. What's your answer? I'm sure people ask you that all the time.
We actually don't get asked that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're higher. But you know,
wait, Rebecca, you froze for like 1 second. Can you hear me okay?
Changing as a social norm. They are making it mainstream. They are.
Wait, hold on, Rebecca. Can you hear me? Yeah, well, you froze for just a second. Could you just repeat what you just said for like the last 30 seconds? Because you were frozen.
Okay. I was saying that you hit it on the head that Poker Power, that second barrier I said earlier was the Poker Power is making it the social norm okay for women to be there. We're in Time Magazine. We're in People Magazine. We're with stars. We're crossing over in media and saying, this is okay. This is okay for women to do. We can sit at the table with men and we can do this. And we can do it in a boardroom or we can do it in a poker room. Because we played, even though we were sitting in the Hamilton room, which we're talking about since Hamilton made that room, like, all the way back. And these women had not played in that room because, one, they weren't allowed on the floor for decades. I mean, it was ridiculous. And then when they were, that was still that barrier of entry because they felt like they weren't accepted there. And now we're getting down and those deals are being. So, okay, you're right. Not smoky rooms, not scary places. Can you hear me?
Right. We can. Let's just keep going for a moment. We might ask you to like go out and come back in again, and then we can talk for a minute. But let's just keep going and say you're okay for right now. So you're going in and out a tiny bit, but right now you're fine. Rebecca, how about, can you hear me still?
I could, you were cutting up for a second. You're good.
Okay.
Now.
Can you leave, Chris, is this a good idea just for her to go in and come back, go out and come back in again, just to sort of change up your connection?
Sure. Let's try it.
Okay. Just Rebecca, just leave the room and then come back. Yeah, I love what she's saying. I mean, I remember when I learned how to play poker in a completely unusual context in New York, and I went to a corporate event to learn how to play poker like 10 years ago. And I remember being there and with all these like high-powered women from Wall Street. And I remember just what Rebecca was saying, you know, just kind of how it, you know, how it gave me that sense of power. Rebecca, I was just sharing when I learned in a corporate context in New York, and I had that same thing what you just described. I was so competitive that day. I'd never played, and I was just a maniac, right? That first day, I was so angry that I didn't win, you know? And I was so angry that this other woman that I thought was just a big idiot won, you know? And I was just like, the game like created a monster in me so fast. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to be here. You know, I guess I'm supposed to be in this experience. But you were saying before you left us that it's, the reinvention and women feeling that what you're describing, you know, you're teaching women with women. For those women that are part of your cadre that are playing tournaments and in addition to taking the skills into their corporate lives. And how do you talk to them about, you know, going into a real game with men in a corporate context, I mean, in a tournament context or a cash context, how do they take that on if it feels hard or if it feels overwhelming?
We don't do any money transactions or really talk so much about actually joining a live game. Most of the time at Poker Power, those conversations are usually held more like with the Women's Poker Association. They'll usually, women that want to be part, that go take just from the corporate setting and go into the live, they find themselves in these women's groups and they find themselves studying and they really get engaged and they go and find the groups and there's so many, like I said, Women's Poker Association, those are the women, the advocates that will help you and tell you like, this is how you do it. This is how you walk in. This is how, you know, cause those little things matter. Like walking in a room is scary. Sometimes it's intimidating when you're the minority, that's intimidating.
Yeah. John, did you have a question?
Well, I was just gonna, bring up, I think, you mentioned women starting out in tournaments. And I actually think that tournaments are a more inviting environment, or can be, to any recreational player, because in a cash game, you're sitting there with a bunch of money in front of you, and it's all about exchanging that, and that can be a very intimidating thing. Whereas a tournament, it's more like you've paid your money for your entertainment time, and you have a certain amount of time you're going to get your entertainment, and they gave you these chips for it, and perhaps you'll get some money back out of them. But I think for all beginners, that's a less intimidating way to be able to play. However, you do have the point about it also is more time consuming, and there are more constraints around tournaments. I mean, there is just not as freewheeling as cash games are. So that's basically what I was going to say.
One of my first tournaments I played at Red Rock, I was doing very well. And then I realized I had to go pick my children up. So women sometimes have things they have to do, which makes it a little harder to play in tournaments. I'm not saying that's always a thing, but I didn't know the time commitment it took, to be honest. I do now. I look at structures and read them and teach other women how to read them. But at first I had no idea. I thought I would just go play, and then I could leave when I wanted. So.
Yeah, the time commitment in tournaments is really demanding. And, we've had folks on the show specifically, we had Matt Savage on the show recently. And, he was so generous and so inviting for folks to come find him anywhere in the upcoming Win series, which is happening right now. Just to ask basic questions, like if this is your first time tournament, and all the mechanics, especially in cash or going into a room in tournaments, there's paying and all just a million things to kind of keep in mind. Rebecca, talk about how folks can engage with Poker Power. For example, I appreciate the mission statement of the brand and the organization. And I also just want to say parenthetically, Poker Power is one of the few brands on earth that markets to women in poker. There's literally 1.3 others or something, but hopefully that will be changing. If a woman comes to Poker Power and says, I don't have a hard charging corporate life, and I would like to learn how to play. Are those women also welcome?
100%. We have a community of everybody. We have our Zoom classes. We have our corporate clients that hire us to go and do live events, but we have a very strong community of women that play. We have an app that you can play on. I think it's great because you can play at any comfort level, basically, and you're playing with all women in there. So that's really helpful. So no, we have women that just want to, I get that all the time. I just want to learn to play poker. And I always send a Poker Power. Nice. Best way to do it. Like, it's real. I wish Poker Power taught me to play poker when I was around. So when I first started, I wish there was one.
Did you first start in Vegas? Where did you first start?
My grandma taught me to play poker when I was younger. I didn't realize that it was called poker. We played for M&Ms. And then, because she wouldn't tell me probably it was poker. She was very competitive and she never let me win, which is probably why I'm a good player now. Then I learned, I started playing after I told you about the World Series of Poker. So I used to play this Sam's Town, across town, had a little $60 tournament. And I played that thing until till it left because of COVID. I played it all the time and I just would learn and I felt safe. Like you were saying, it was great. My $60, and I was able to make moves and figure it out. And I tell women all the time, if you're going to start, do something like that. Do a little tournament. It doesn't have to be something major. You don't have to go play the $1,100 Win on your first event.
Yes, exactly. And that's the beauty of tournament food chain in every city on earth. Chris Jones, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm just got a question from Donna Dark Angel in the chat. First of all, she writes, having been to a seminar of Poker Power, I can attest that it is amazing and more women should go to it because you learn a lot. So great. Thanks for her writing in that. But her question is kind of a plea for help. She says, Rebecca, I need help. I'm playing in my first ever cash game on the 11th at the Aria. I am scared. LOL. Help me. What would you advise to for somebody who's playing in their first ever cash game at the Aria on the 11th?
Get there early because the list is super long. No, the Aria is a great room. I know Donna. I don't know why she'd be scared. what'd you say?
There's actually some, you know, the question of the list, Donna. You know, you want to call the Aria 2 hours in advance of when you want to play, and then show up 5 minutes to the expiration of your 2 hour window, and then you'll be at the top of the list. The Aria is more crowded right now because the winter series has begun, and every member of the Aria floor is magical. Like, it's the most friendly group of folks, and if you have any issues or questions about anything large and small, before you sit down, ask any member of the floor walking around, or ask the dealer, ask any even other players. It's a very warm and inviting room, and everyone is there to make you feel comfortable, to help you feel comfortable, and, you know, to take your money. So play very tight. Really, my first comment about the Aria. Yeah. Okay. So your grandmother taught you, and then you started playing, Rebecca, in these small tournaments. And then, you know, I'm very jealous of mixed game players. So how did all that become real in your life?
So again, Lupe, I'm in Houston. I'm in Houston, and she's like, and I'm very naive. I've never really, I mean, I'm just kind of playing Hold'em for a bit, but don't know much. She's like, we're going to play Omaha. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, you'll get the hang of it. You're good at Hold'em. She's like, no problem. Come sit with us. Well, she didn't happen to tell me that everybody at the table was a Hall of Famer besides me. So because I'm playing with Linda and Jan and Lupe and Della. And I had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, it's best that way.
I've been, honestly, then I think being a little naive helped me, but also those are the people that have been my support system and taught me. So I'm very lucky in this way. I say living in Vegas, you get the best sometimes of people. I think Jeannie David took me under her wing in mixed games, and I'm in a horse league, which I feel like I'm playing with all pros and bracelet winners. And I'm definitely on the younger end of my horse league. So, but I get to play with the best in the world. So I think I get a lot of experience to learn from that.
You do. And like what Phil Ivey said, when he was first starting out and sneaking into somewhere, one of the casinos in Atlantic City, you know, he played against people who are much better than him until he would learn to beat them. Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying about mentorship. And some days you want to be the windshield and some days you want to be the bug when you're learning, right? And you just toggle back and forth. Yeah, you can't, I mean, the best players at the table are not going to buy you a Maserati, but the best players, they're not your targets, but they are your teachers. And it sounds like you've had a wealth of training from them.
100%. And I know I'm doing good. It's hard in Vegas because, like I said, I'm playing with the best. But then I go to Australia. Go to Australia and I'm playing Crown and I sit down at the table. And first of all, the dealer asked me if I'm lost because it's a PLO table because he thought I just got lost accidentally. And I sit down with $200 and in about 8 minutes, I have $1,200. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm learning from the best. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm doing fine. So it works out.
I call PLO the craps of poker. I have a lot of friends that, you know, it just seems the variance in the game and just the swings in people's stacks. And, you know, usually there's the most energy at the PLO tables and some yelling and carousing and things going on. Becca, before we get to our bonus rounds, is there anything you want to mention to us about projects you're beyond Poker Power that you're thinking about working on, focused on, or events that are coming up you'd like our audience to know about?
So we're actually going to launch something this week because tomorrow, I don't know if you guys know, but tomorrow starts Ladies Week, which is huge because it's the second annual Ladies Week, which we pushed for and we got, nice. Which is very exciting. So it was big hit last year and we're starting. So we are actually starting, it's called Women Poker News, but it's Shattering the Glass Spade. And so we want to start a media company that basically women take in media differently than men. And as much as we love our hand histories and stuff like that, women like different things. There's a reason that Bravo and TLC and these Hallmark channels are around. So we're going to start it, and we're going to start it at Women in Poker Festival, the one that at Resorts World, because, well, we're at home there and it's easy for me because that's with Lupe and I feel comfortable and I can kind of spread my wings and figure it out there.
Wow, that sounds so great. I love that perspective, and especially from a marketing perspective. And you're right, women do. A very prominent elite player and coach once said that women learn differently, women absorb the game differently. I never forgot that. I don't have a training school like he does, so I couldn't really put some meat on the bone of that comment. But I love what you're saying about women consume media differently. They consume potentially, from what you're saying, poker content differently, and you're doing something about that. So thank you so much. At the end of our bonus rounds, Rebecca, we're going to ask you to give us contact information. But Chris, take us through these fantastic things.
Yeah, well, I have one more follow up before we get to the speed round. Rebecca, can you just say a little bit more about? I mean, like, that sounds amazing and exciting and really cool. And can you just say like a little bit? Maybe you can't tease this yet because you haven't announced everything, but like, what kinds of media can we expect to see from this? Or is there a kind of story you're looking to tell, or a kind of like format that hasn't been explored before that we might see through this?
Well, I think there's a mainstream part too. And I think like here in Vegas, for sure, like we have socialites, we have poker socialites, poker Twitter's taken on its own thing. We have women that go out and do things all the time. And I'm lucky enough to be around. I'm on the board for Poker Gives. I'm on the board for WPA. I travel internationally with poker for WPT. So I get to see all of these different things. And I just think that it isn't covered enough. And women don't get coverage. A lot of times they don't even know who are there in the room. And this is not to take away from any poker company out there, a media company, but a lot of times they just don't even know what's happening in the women's world. And I do know what's happening in the women's world, and I have access to it. So I just want to bring a different perspective to it.
That sounds really thrilling. I'm glad you're doing it.
Launching tomorrow. So
all right. Well, I'll keep my eye out for
the scoop.
Keep my eye out for it for sure. All right. So we're going into the speed round here. There's two sections of this. The first one is the one we call stake, study, or stack. And you know, there used to be a kind of a childhood game that we all used to play that was like about who you might want to spend the rest of your life with, who you might want to have a one sort of one-time fling with, and who you might want to sort of do away with in nefarious means. This is more about who do you want to sort of join up in the poker world. And I am, since you're involved with the Women Poker Hall of Fame, I'm going to pick three Hall of Famers here, and you have to pick one that you want to stake in a tournament or a cash game, one that you want to study or learn with, and then one that you just want to take all their chips. You just want to stack them at the table.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you three names: Kathy Liebert, Maria Ho, and Lupe Soto.
Okay. Wait. Stake, study. What was the last one? Stake, study.
Stake, study, or stack.
Okay. Maria Ho, I want to stake. Lupe Soto, I want to stack. And because she's like my mentor, my mother, and so I love her. And what was the last option? I'm sorry.
Study.
Please. Kathy Liebert.
Study with Kathy Liebert. Yeah.
Still killing it.
Yeah. She's killing it for years. She'd be amazing to study with.
And she plays all the time still.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, now we're going to, this is going to what we call closing the action. These are just speed, as fast as you can answers, as quick as you can answers. If you can't think of it or don't like the question, just say pass. And we start off with an easy one. What's your favorite poker hand?
Aces.
Got it. Is poker a game of gambling or skill?
Skill.
What's your biggest poker pet peeve?
Pass.
What's the best place to go in Vegas on a day off from poker?
I like to be home.
Fair enough. Is Ace King a drawing hand?
No.
Are you pro chop or no chop?
Pro chop.
What player type are you?
I'm a tight player.
Okay. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
What's your favorite childhood family holiday meal?
Enchiladas.
Should vacations be lazy or busy?
Lazy.
What's your favorite mix game?
Omaha.
Yellow light is coming up. Are you slowing down or speeding up?
Speeding up.
Nice. Who is your poker nemesis, if you have one?
Pass, I don't have one.
Okay. What's your favorite poker venue?
When?
Okay. And our last question, we can take your time with this if you want, but so this can be a longer answer if you'd like, but what's the one thing that the poker world needs to do better or differently?
They need to grow the game with women.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Rebecca, that you're off the hot seat. You scored an amazing 751 points. So congratulations. And I just thank you so much for being part of the show tonight. Folks, you can start typing in the word food bank into the chat. And we'll start doing the drawing as soon as we say goodbye to Rebecca. If people are interested in some of the projects you're doing, interested in your podcast, interested in Poker Power, interested in, you know, any of the other things that we've talked about tonight, what's the best way for them to learn more or get in touch with you?
You can find me at PokerQueenLV on Twitter. They all have their own websites. The Real Girls of Las Vegas of Poker. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The Real Poker Girls of Las Vegas. And then the other one's going to be Women Poker News. That's going to be the Shattering the Glass Fade. That's going to come out tomorrow. I'm going to launch it tomorrow. So
great. And we'll put some of this in the show notes too, if people are looking for those links. With that, I'll turn it back to Sasha to kind of close us out, I think, or am I closing us out?
No, I just have one last question, Rebecca. Just in terms of your podcast that you folks are doing, do you have a particular focus on the pod, or is it broadly issues for women, or how are you guys structuring that and approaching that?
It's broadly issues for women. It's just us talking about women, the things that we know. We all come from a little bit of a different perspective. Lupe's obviously knows everything about women in poker because she's been around and done it all pretty much. And then it's with Tatiana Fox, my other best friend in Australia. And she has been playing poker about as long as I have. But she's a mixed games player also. And she wrote a book with Rob Michael Mizraki for Horse. And then there's me that has every poker job out there. So we just bring it to one perspective.
Well, I'm happy to know that you're connected to the Grinder, because I met somebody at a bar recently and they said they were connected to Michael. We want to invite him on the show. So if you want to
pass that along,
we would be really honored. But we want to thank you so much for spending some time with us, and your credential is beautiful. And, you know, I'm personally, and I know we're all very grateful for all the work you're doing every hour, every day. So thank you so much for being on the Rec Poker Pod.
Thank you.
All right. And I think while people are typing, so thank you again, Rebecca. We're really grateful for you to being part of this. And again, folks, if you're watching us live, you can type food bank into the chat. Food insecurity is a problem that faces lots of people you might not expect. You can type, if you want to go out and help some folks, you can type food banks near me and make either a cash donation or just a gift of some non-perishable food items. And it goes a long way, especially this time of year. So while you're typing food bank into the chat to be eligible to win, we're going to start going over some of our home game results. Again, thanks to our guest, Rebecca and John. Let us know who are some of our winners this week.
Well, on the before we start, I wanted to just mention that coming up here in December, we have some extra TOC events. So the Tournament of Champions for the No Limit Hold'em Championship Series will be on the third Wednesday of the month, December 20th. And the Mixed Game Championship TOC will be on December 27th, the fourth Wednesday of the month. And then on November 27th, Ivor Big One got his first nightly victory for the year. Roadstar 33 got his fifth nightly victory for the year. And PokerLoon 91 got his or her, I guess I don't know whether it's a his, him or her, first nightly victory for the year. PetBet 33, Kim Kilroy, got her first daily mixed event victory for the year. Dan Resgi, Daniel A, got his second and third international victory for the year, sweeping the day for international victories. And then Osloberger, Don Tron Vidar Stensby, got his first LPP victory for the year. So he can contact info@rec.poker for his free month at Learn Pro Poker.
Thank you, John. That's an impressive list of winners there. Some old standbys for sure.
I have the November ROI results for our premium members. And let me jump in here and bring up that list. Okay, and we have number one is Now Then KB at 138%. Killy 19341 at 132%. B Chip is third with 107% ROI. Fergie 56 or PetVet 33, whatever you want to call her, at 95%, and Max Chaos 2112 at 64%.
Wow. Wow. You get over 100% ROI and you're really cooking.
You're cooking, yeah. And keep in mind, you have to play at least 4 games in the month to be eligible for the RO and be a premium member.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for that. It looks like we've got 3 names in the chat. We've got Joe, K-Poker Wannabe, and Ethan. I am not going to use the, because we've had enough technical glitches tonight, I'm not going to use the Daiso cam. So you're going to have to take my word for it if that's going to work for everyone. But I'm rolling away here. It is a 1, which means we're giving this to Joe. So Joe, you can reach out to info@rec.poker to claim your prize. With that, anything else that anyone wants to add before we close things up?
I think I need to add something because Running Aces has an event coming up on January 11th to the 14th called the Big Stack Avalanche. And there's a Rec Poker Weekend at Running Aces on January 19th to the 20th. So we want to make sure that everybody, takes advantage of these events and supports our sponsor, Running Aces.
Do we know anything about what the Rec Poker Weekend is yet? Like, what's going on? Probably just some tournaments and a little cash game or something like that, right?
Right. There's nothing in the notes here that says what the actual plan is, and it's still, it's a little over a month away, so I'm sure we'll have more information shortly.
Okay.
But if people are planning on going, you should be aware that I am planning on attending.
Ooh.
So I'll try to keep my distance if that, is going to scare you away. So just, be sure to come. And
I thought you were talking about it's just juicing the prize pool, really.
Well, that's what I thought he meant.
Well, yeah, there will be definitely some easy money in those tournaments.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Sasha, for hosting. Thank you to our guest, Rebecca, for joining us. That was a great episode, I thought. Thank you to Rob and John for making this, coming along for the ride, making it happen. Thanks to everyone for listening. And thank you to the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. We couldn't do this without any of you. And we will see you next time.